We thank the Lord for being here with us tonight, and we want to look over in Psalms chapter 41. Psalms 41, and this is this will be the fourth time I preach this message in a 24-hour period. So, but it's the first time in English. So it should be new and fresh that way. Psalms 41, we're going to read the first couple verses, and then we'll go on from there. Blessed is he, Psalms 41, verse 1 through 4, we'll read. Blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and he will not and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of a languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Okay. And I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Be merciful unto me. Let us pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we ask you to guide us. We ask you to direct us. We ask that your spirit work tonight in each of our lives. Teach us something. Show us something that we need to see tonight. Help us to consider the poor. Help us to consider those around us, Lord. I ask you now that you would use me to speak truth to your people, to each one that is here tonight, each person, each soul that is sitting here. And we pray that all of our hearts will be stirred to consider the poor. Consider the needy. Consider the hurting. Guide us now. And we ask you for your blessing upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Consider the poor. Pastor Ray asked me before the service tonight, oh, did you give your title to the sound booth? And I haven't given it to him yet. Consider the poor, in case you guys are wanting it. I gave it to him. I forgot to take out my earplugs when I got up here because I just feel the love, Pastor Brian. He scheduled Brother Will to do the offertorium and with the trumpet. I appreciate that. Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. And Will appreciates it too. The sad part is I've always loved the trumpets and the sounds until the Strokes. And then, well, not so much anymore. It causes a little bit of commotion in the brain. The problem is there's not a lot of the brain there, and there's a lot of open space, and the vibrations causes issues. I better jump off from that and get into the message. But blessed is he that considereth the poor, that think about the poor, the needy, the struggling, those around us. Blessed are those who look at others with compassion, with love. That's what we want to look at tonight. Think about tonight. Blessed are those that consider others. How do we look at others? How do we look at those around us that are sitting there and we pass on the street and you say, well, I don't even think about it. That's part of our problem. Or I say, oh, wait a minute, that person doesn't merit me stopping and talking to them. I shouldn't greet that person. And that's what we come down to in that. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. And you say, well, you know, some of us, we're not too well off. We don't have a whole lot. Who are the poor? Who are the rich? If I went down this line of saying poor, everyone in here tonight, as I said this morning, everyone in the room is well off. And you say, well, how can you say that? Well, because I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen a young boy, probably 10 years old, drying his clothes before going to school. It was a pair of shorts, a pair of gym shorts. And I'm just going to have to say, he didn't have anything else. A t-shirt, and a pair of gym shorts, no even undergarments. He was drying them over a fire so he could go to school. He had nothing else. In the position of saying, hey, we need to consider others. We need to consider those that are poor, those that are struggling. Look around us and see what's there. You know, David wasn't just, and I want to get to the point really quick here. David wasn't just talking about financially poor. David wasn't just talking about not having a couple extra chariots and some extra horses. No, he wasn't talking about just that. But that was sort of the part of it, but not the whole picture when we're talking about the poor. It's much broader. It's talking about the weak, talking about the needy, the helpless, the defenseless, those struggling. That's who he is speaking of. As we look around us, do we see them? Do we think about them? Do we consider them? And that's where this comes down. There's plenty around us. If not poor in things of this world, poor in love. They don't have any of it in their lives. Or poor in hope. They have no hope. You say, well, is there? Yeah. It's endless. Endless as we look around us. Poor in the knowledge of God. They don't even have a glimmer of who God is in their lives. The poor, consider, think of them that are around us with great physical needs. I just want to back up a little bit from the summary and say, hey, there are people around us with great physical needs. That's why we have a food pantry. And that's why we send it out to help people. And that's why God has enabled us to help people. Because there's people who are lacking food. There's people who are lacking money to get food. There's people who are lacking jobs, lacking even a house, a place to stay. There's people with physical limitations that they can't get out. They can't do this. There's great needs. There's people that have great medical needs. There's battles. We've mentioned prayer requests tonight. We mention them all the time. There's so much going on around us. There's so many medical needs. And you say, well, that's something. Well, Jesus talked about it. It's all through the New Testament. I dare not go into that. The blind, the lame, the lepers, and many other sicknesses mentioned that Jesus considered. And we don't think much about it. We don't have time for it. That's not where we're. No, wait a minute. We need to look at that and consider that. Those that are suffering, those that are struggling. And as I mentioned, a lot of times I'll go into the hospital to visit people, and just like I did probably about 2 weeks ago, I almost got ran over by this guy in a motorized wheelchair, but I won't mention Frank's name. He's got a leg up on me. I am sorry. That two legs. Yeah, well. He takes one off and hits me with it. That's the problem. Him and Jenny were going in, too, to see Brother Ron. And, you know, when we're going in to see him, what am I going to do, heal him from cancer? I'm going to pray for him, just like Brother Frank was going to do, pray for him, concern for him. That's what this is talking about, being concerned for these people in need. And you know, a lot of times when I go in there, and I'm giving away my trade secret for those who I visited in the hospital. I want to do one thing. If you want me to stay longer, don't laugh. Okay? If you keep real serious or stay longer to try to make you laugh. Try to make you smile. Because that's the best medicine. Amen. And that's what we need to stop and consider and say, hey, we care about you. We love you. And whether it's the physical and needs lacking or medical needs or things going on in their lives. And this is where the struggle comes in. But also this poor that we are to consider and to think about are poor in spirit. poor in spirit. I struggled with it this morning. I still haven't come up with the great translation for the Spanish word, pobrecito. I say it with the right inflex. Oh, pobrecito. Yeah, I don't know if you catch the inflex of that saying, oh, you poor little thing, and not really be concerned about them, but say we pity them, but not say, hey, I'm thinking about you. Whether it's spiritual, physical needs or physical health, we're not just to feel sorry for their needs. We need to consider them. We might see their hunger, that they're hurting, but do we really know about the deepest need that makes them poor? The spiritual. They're lost, unsaved. No hope at all. We walk right by people that are lost and you say, that person's just way off. But we don't take the time to consider them, to look at them, to think about them and say, wait a minute. When you go to, Pastor Ray had mentioned tonight about the carnival in Manchester, we go to those carnivals and I've gone to some of them and you walk past people. And then all of a sudden you realize that person you just walked past is somebody that is poor, that is needy. Oh, but they have money to buy tickets. They have money to buy cotton candy. I don't know why they would buy cotton candy, because that just mushes right up. I mean, go for a waffle. What is that called? The funnel cake. Yeah, funnel cake with strawberries on it or with chocolate. Well, you know I work in the Spanish ministry because we go right to the food. We're going to get there real quick. That's just the way, that's not in my notes. I don't know how I got there. Food. But we walk past the people, and do we know where they're going? Do we know where they are at spiritually? Do they have hope for eternity? Do we see the lostness? Jesus saw all three areas in the lives of people. Look at it just as an example of his ministry. He fed 5,000, 4,000. He constantly was feeding. Good thing I brought my own water, Carl. Sorry. I don't see John, so somebody has to be thrashed on. I think pastors said something about that. Make sure we keep the people in line. Back to Matthew chapter 9, 35 and 36, where and Jesus said unto them, and he went about the cities, went about the places, and meeting the needs of the people, whether it's feeding them or healing the sick. He did it. That's what he did. He was concerned at all areas. Are we concerned for others? But mostly, he wrapped that up after going around. And he said, wait a minute. I guess that's not in, that's in the Greek. Pastor Brian and Pastor Jonathan can help you explain where that is in the Greek. I can't, because it's, don't do that. That's a dad joke. It's all Greek to me. In verse 36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Why? Oh, they're still hungry. They didn't get enough bread and fish. Oh, they're still hurting. They're still lame or they can't see clear. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Are we moved with compassion for others? Are we impacted by the poor around us? Do we consider them? Do we think about them? Do we consider those that walk with their hands hanging down, as in Hebrews 12 speaks of? Lift up the hands which hang down. Lift the feeble knees. Make straight the path. Guide them. Give up something. Lift up those hands. Help them. Whatever needs, whatever they're at. It's no accident that you walk past them. It's no accident when you go to Walmart and somebody comes up and says something, or you can start a conversation. God is doing something. I shared a testimony this morning. My brother that lives next to us has been struggling because he's had 3 knee surgeries in, 2 years? And it's still barely fixable. One of our one of the members of the church, he went by. He said after he left our Father's Day picnic, and instead of coming home, he stopped and went in to see my brother, whose hands were heavy or struggling because, man, this is discouraging. You get a knee replacement surgery, and, oh yeah, in 6 weeks you'll be just fine. Yeah, well, they can. There's other things I would sell you too, like a bridge in Brooklyn. Now after the 3rd surgery, he's still struggling. And guess what? My brother told me, he said, hey, Javier came by and saw me. He talked to me. He just sat there. He just came right in and sat down and talked to me. That's lifting up the feeble. That's lifting, helping them, saying, hey. He said, well, wait a minute. That's just, sometimes that is all the difference it makes in a life of a believer. In a life of somebody else that, hey, somebody cares about me. And he said, well, that shouldn't happen to believers. Believers need to be strong. We're mighty. And that's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:8, and he said that we're pressed out of measure, without above strength, insomuch that we thought we're going to die. It's beyond what we can take. I can't take anymore. Oh, wait a minute. That's not a good Christian, is it? To say I'm pressed out of measure. Oh, I think Paul would classify as a above average Christian. I would think, unless somebody else here has written 13 books that are in the New Testament. But here's Paul saying this. He said, man, it's beyond me. You know, there's times on the mission field that we felt pressed out of measure, pressed beyond strength. And that's when I remember coming back from the hospital after finding out that our first child that was born in Bolivia passed away. And I came back to the room at the mission home we were staying, and there's this little note on the door from Bill. He's a deacon down in a church in Virginia. He called to say 3 things to us. I love you. Those arms that were pretty heavy all of a sudden had a little bit extra strength in them because we knew somebody loved us. We weren't alone in this battle, in this warfare. It's a warfare that we're in, folks. Or when I did the missionary trip to San Buenaventura and word got back to the church that I was lost in the jungle for a couple of weeks and no one knew where I was and I didn't know where I was. Well, technically I really didn't know where I was, but I sort of knew where I was. You know, guys are never lost, right? Amen, brothers? Amen? We're never lost. We're just taking a little bit of a detour. But we think we're going to get back around. I got it out of there. I did the smart thing. I took 2 SAHA with me that knew how to get back. it's always smart. You know, if you can't figure it out, take somebody with you that can. So I got back, and I got to the city exhausted. It was an exciting time. We saw many saved. And there was a message. The guy that picked me up says, hey, your pastor called, Pastor Belcher called down to Bolivia when he heard the rumor back here that I was lost in the jungle and no one knew where I was. He called down there and says, go find my guy. Go find him. And I found out that he basically raked somebody over the coals to find me. I said, wow, we're not in this battle alone. We need to be that for one another here. In the group here tonight, many of us have gone through struggles in the last couple months, or going through struggles, or will we be going through struggles? You say, I'm not. Wait for it. It's coming. The storm's going to hit you too. Trust me. In this world, they don't want to let us go. They're going to thrash on us. And that's what we need to stop and think. We need to love one another. We need to consider those around us, as Matthew 22 speaks, that love your neighbor. There is no accident that the person living next to you is there. Your neighbor, the person that God brings through your path, that puts before you, is no accident. The student in your class, their parents, their needs, I don't know, but God has a plan. And that's what we need to stop and think, that we are to love one another. And that's how the world will know we're his disciples, John 13, 34 and 35. That's how they're going to know, because we love one another. We love others. That's how they will know that we walk with him. And that's how we need to stop and think. Good Samaritan saw somebody that everybody else just walked by. He thought about the need of that individual that was hurting, that was suffering, that was robbed, and did something about it. And maybe we need to be more like that. Look around us. What do you see? Look around you. Who do you see? Oh, no, that person's not worth it. Stop and consider them. Think of them. Look around. Look at it. What happened to Jesus over in John 4? We can go over there. I mentioned other verses. You can jot them down. Too late if you haven't, because I ain't going to go back and tell you, because my wife said I have to finish on time tonight. So look around. Who do you see? In John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For the disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto you, give me to drink, thou would ask of him, and he would give thee living water. And that's where we need to stop and look at this evening. Just think about that. Jesus saw this lady. Wait a minute, that's Jesus. Well, we are to be Jesus in this world. He saw this lady, and he said, he knew it. There's only one there. Wait a minute. It's midday. The disciples had gone and got getting food for Jesus. There was no DoorDash back then. They're really slow, DoorDashing camels. Where was I? Back. A Samaritan woman came midday to draw water. Why? No one else is going to be there. She was rejected, shunned by the other women. She was rejected by her community. And again, the whole story, and many of you know it, Jesus told her later on, she had five husbands, and now she doesn't have any. She has no provider. Was she raising kids on her own? Was she rejected by those around her? That's what it seemed like. And Jesus was a Jew, that should have no dealing with them. How many times we think, we should have no dealing with that one because they're not, and we do that without even thinking. But Jesus looked and considered and thought of her and her need for water, her need for acceptance, and her need for eternal life. And he saw the woman. Jesus reached out. And I stop and consider us today. Do we look out and around us and say, hey, this person, God has brought it to the well right beside where you're sitting and waiting. Do we see her? Jesus saw her physical needs, her emotional needs, a rejected person, a lost person with no hope. And he gave it to her. He offered her all. Offered her so much as she accepted that. She went back in town and says, hey, folks, there's somebody out there that knows what's going down, that cares about me. It changed the lives. And this is where we need to stop and think. To be like Jesus. How should we consider others? First of all, we have to see them. We don't want to turn our heads away. We need to take the time to look and say, wait a minute, that person's got needs. That person's in need. And then we can say, hey, well, we can provide for them. We can throw some food at them and be good. You know, that's what we could have done years ago when the SA had a flood and took out their whole crop of bananas and rice. They had nothing, no food left. A church from down in Virginia sent us several $1,000s to help feed them. He said, you know how much that would have, how long that would have lasted? Not very long for a whole village of about 800 people that we had around us. So I was thinking, Lord, how can I help them? I ended up doing a project where I said, hey, you need to do community work for the village, clean things up, and then I'll pay you three times the wage. Well, it's sort of giving it, but it's sort of making them work. And then the next day, they had to go work on their fields that have been flooded and work on those. Instead of just, here it is, doling it out. We got to be wise on how we help people, and because God will show us exactly what we should do. Amen. There's times when we should just hand things over. There's times when we say, wait a minute, let's use wisdom on how we do this. The physical needs. Can we help people? I remember a number of years back, I'm trying to remember why, it was an evening service, we're going home, and I was going up 27, and all of a sudden I saw this car parked on the side of the road with flashers going, and I saw why they were parked, because there's another car in the ditch. And I'm thinking, oh boy, somebody's in need. But there's a family, she's sitting in the back of the room, Harold and Janet Schweitzer had stopped to help these people. I said, wait a minute. Hear me. At this point, this was like maybe 10 years ago when I was young. I'm still young. You know, comparatively, I'm trying to find somebody to compare to. Please help me here. Oh, there it is. Lee's volunteered to be the old person. So I stopped. I said, wait a minute. They stopped to help these people. But guess what it meant to that person in that car that somebody stopped and all just helped and say, you can sit in our van. That's what I'm talking about, helping people. But the greatest help is that spiritual level. We need to see the need, take the time to consider what's going on and say, God, how do you want me to help these people? Respond to the real need. Respond to the truth. And as Peter said to the lame man sitting outside of the temple in Acts chapter 3, I don't have money, but I got something better. Yeah. So often we say, well, we don't have the money to give away and do this and that, but we have something better. Yeah, eternal life. Yeah. So bad news is I'm back on page one of my notes. I have to repeat it all, don't I? I don't know how that works. God has a plan. In Jeremiah 29:11 speaks of having a plan that's so superior to ours. His ways are greater than our ways. And he's got a plan, and it's no accident that somebody crosses our path. Divine appointments, yes, for salvation, yes, for physical needs, yes, for encouragement. God will bring that person across your life. And that's what we need to stop and consider this evening. You know, God is bringing people across our lives. Are we stopping and considering them? And that's where really we need to look at. And as I said, the verses I read, yes, we'll be blessed. And the blessings is talks about being delivered in time of trouble. As we consider others, God says, this is what's going to happen to you. You'll be delivered in times of trouble. That means, oh, we're going to have no problems at all. That's not the case. I'm looking around. Yeah, most of us up here on this platform have faced some troubles in our lives, some real battles. But guess what? He's delivered us. Amen. They haven't beaten us down because of him, not because of we can do it. We lasted 25 years in Bolivia because we're so tough. No, it's because he's so great. That's what we have to remember, and that's what he's promising here. As we consider others, he's going to say, watch what I do for you. Deliver us in time of trouble. He will keep us. He will protect us. He will guide us. When the anthropologists tried to throw us out of Bolivia, God said, they're here doing my job. He protected us. Oh, yeah, they gave us all kinds of grief, but we were able to go on. He will keep us. Guide us, bless us, and provide for us, and undertake for us in all areas. He will not forsake us. And then we will be able to be in his presence. As we consider others, we get closer to him. And that's down in verse, we can, I'm thinking we're going to get to that. If I read it in English, it might be better. Verse 12, and Psalms 41, verse 12. And as for me, thou holdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face forever. We'll be with us. That's the greatest blessing of all. Yeah. In his presence. Right. In his standing there with him. With his arm over our shoulders. It's okay. I'm with you. Yeah. And he says, that's what I want you to do for them. For the poor, the needy. Whether it be physical needs, spiritual needs, encouragement, whatever the need is. God has kept us. And therefore, we should seek to do the same for others. We should seek to draw them in, not stand back away from them. I can't stand back away because the microphone's here. See, it made me stay close. And it all comes down to praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. And that's where verse 13 comes out. And blessed be the Lord God of Israel for everlasting and to everlasting. Amen. It's praising him. We want to praise the Lord. You know, Pastor Brian won't let me sing. But I can praise the Lord by reaching out to those around me. And he's really glad I do it that way, not this way. I thought he was going to ask me to sing tonight, but he decided not to. Maybe next time. Maybe next time. I can always hope, can I? It's an empty hope, but I can hope. But as we stop and think about it, that's the greatest praise of the Lord, is we love others and reach out to others and just seek to glorify his name. As we reach out. You know something? We can't help everyone. And a lot of times we want to feed the world. No, we can't feed the world. I'm sorry to pop your bubble. But we can reach some of them. We can't reach everyone, but we can help those that God brings across our path. Not just in food. Not just in the physical need. But in the greatest need of all, the spiritual need. We cannot help everyone, but we can help someone, even if it is only one, because anyone who we help is another one that has seen the love of God and that God has for each one, even through us, the one that God has sent. We can't help everyone. We can help someone. And we're the ones he sent. We're you, each of us. He said, but not me. I'm not a preacher. Ask anybody that knows me from 46 years ago. There's a couple of yous in here tonight. 46, yeah, Rick Goodwin's over there saying, oh, yeah, he's going there. Yep, I'm going there. I was not a preacher. If you don't believe me, ask Rick. He will tell you. As you've seen tonight, I can barely read in English. I don't know how I learned two languages. I do know how. God.
Yeah.
It ain't about me. God can use each of you in ways that you can never, ever imagine. And I stand before you as a great example of that. Not because I can't, it's because of what he can do through a vessel, a clay vessel. And he can use us, each of us, to meet the need of somebody, some way, a poor person along our way, poor, whether it be in any aspect of their lives. We need to see them. We need to consider them. We need to think about them and respond to the desire that God has placed on our heart to meet that person's need. I remember, and I'll be closing with this, and a bunch of years ago, I we had some visitors there, and they heard some chanting from the Upriver Village, and so we went up to find out what the chanting was about. And it's a story I've mentioned in the past about a little boy named Jamia had passed away. See, Jamia was wanted. I looked at all my pictures after I saw him laying there, a lifeless body. And he was in none of our pictures. None of them. We had 99 kids come out to our Awana program. 99. And he was not one of those 99. It ripped my heart out to think where he might be as I stood there looking down at his body. But you know what was even, I don't know if even worse, but even more painful possibly, is his mother standing above his body just shaking, visibly shaking, weeping. And look, then she looked up at me, oh, the pastor here, the missionary's here, he's got the answer. She looked up at me, and when I looked into her eyes, I knew what she wanted was an answer I could not give her, because I didn't know where he was. Far as I know, he never came out to church. You know, that's the hardest thing in the world, to tell a mom you don't know where that child is. That's why I live to reach one more. Just one more. I'd like to get 100. Just one more. You say, but you can't get one more as a child. One more. Reach out. Consider the poor. Look around you. What do you see? Who do you see? God has placed somebody on your heart. Even tonight as you're sitting here, God has placed somebody on your heart saying, that person I need to talk to about Jesus. That person, I need to go by and pray with them. You know, as I spoke this morning, he said, well, I'm not really big on how to pray and stuff. Well, then tell him, hey, you want my pastor? My mom did this in the hospital as she was a nurse. You know, nurses were forbidden. Even back then, couldn't. See, good thing I brought my own. Is that three times I got him?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm keeping score. Next time he's going to bring a whole case of water and set it up here. And my mom, being a nurse, nurses can't talk to people about Jesus, can't witness to them unless the person opens up first. So what she would do, she'd go into the hospital and meet, is attending the person, and the person will see that she cared for them, and she said, oh, is there anything I can get for you? And she said, I'm just struggling. Well, if you want, I can call my pastor to come in and pray with you. And they said, oh, yes, would you? I don't know how many people were saved through that. That person asking, they couldn't do it. She could not do it, or she'd get in trouble. So she said, hey, better yet, I go call Pastor Ray. Can you go by and pray with that person? And while you're praying, you can talk to them about anything you want. And that, you know, we just need to be creative on how we meet the needs of the poor. How can you do it? I don't know. I don't want to put say this is the way to do it. The way to do it is sensitive to God's spirit in your life. He wants to use you to change a life, to encourage a heart. And he wants to use me. And I don't understand why, but he still does. Yeah, that's the only reason why I'm here. Is God wants to use me to reach one more. How about you? Just one more. I love reaching 12. I've seen that happen before. In San Buenaventura, I saw a bunch. But I settle for one. And then one more. And if it means checking out, I used the illustration, checking out the grocery store, and you see the person in front of you looking for the coins, and they barely have enough to buy their grocery bill. I've done it once or twice. I just pulled my card up and put it into the machine and pulled it back. And they said, well, you don't have to do that. I know I don't have to do it. I don't. But God said, well, I actually do, because God said do it. And this is where we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, whether helping somebody physically, bringing food in for the food pantry,